Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 109 of the Purple Pants Podcast, Zaddy's at War. I serve as your humble and gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I'm so glad to be in your eardrums, your kitchen, your car, and your classroom, wherever it is that you're listening to me from. We back with another episode, but before we get started, if you have not already, please make sure you're subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We're there. Give your baby boy some 5 stars and write a review. Who, listen, y'all, let me tell you, baby boy is tired. When I say tired, I'm tired. I had a really busy weekend and I never recovered from the sleep. You ever not get sleep and you become delirious and, you know, you're just like functioning off of fumes. Baby boy is going off of fumes. So this weekend I was with my beef brothers, Joey and Wendell, and we went to Long Island to Dominic from Ghost Island. Wendell and Dominic had a project of putting like a pergola together. And, you know, Wendell had hit me up and was like, you want to go to Dom's house? He's got a pool. So I'm like, oh, you listen, you know, baby boy, love a pool. So we get there and there's about 6 to 8 hours of work on this pergola and the ground, the landscaping. And I'm like, wait, you said I was going to get in the pool? Baby, they was working your baby boy. So we went to New York and we were supposed to stay 2 nights, but because the project took so long, and then, you know, we hung out with Dom's family, and you know I got in the pool, okay, because listen, I was going to get in the pool, and we didn't book a hotel, and so when we were looking for hotels, it was after 12, and so, you know, anybody that works in the hotel industry, or, you know, you book, if you're, it's after 12, it's the next day, and so, like, check-in time is until 3 p.m., so we couldn't get a hotel, so we decided just to drive back, and Wendell's like, I'll drive back, and I already knew I would have to drive because I just knew. So 30 minutes into Wendell driving back of the 2-hour 45-minute drive, he's like, I'm tired. And for me, I've always gone on road trips throughout my life. And, you know, early on in my childhood, like, I had a brother that was incarcerated and he like was incarcerated in upstate Pennsylvania for 6 hours. So I always used to play navigation with my mom. And I'm always the type of friend that if we go on a road trip, like I don't ever go to sleep, in the sense of like, I feel like you should be a good co-pilot and always be up with the driver. So when I got in the car, Joey Hatch went to sleep like that. And so I, you know, stood up and I was like, you know, just because you just want to make sure that someone's alert. So he got tired, so I had to drive back to Philly. We didn't get back to Philly till 4 a.m. And I think I've told you guys this before. I'm the type of person, when I get back from any type of trip, I can't function until like my bags are packed and everything is like put away. So I do that for 45 minutes. It's about 5:30 now. And now I'm just like up. And so I didn't sleep Sunday. And, you know, I'm just going off of fumes. I literally feel like I'm in a third dimension. But I had so much fun hanging out with Dom and the B brothers. It was a really great weekend. And it also happened to be the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And so it was an interesting feeling to be in New York of 9/11. And we had drove past a couple of memorials that they were doing live. We even pulled over and just like paid our respects and just kind of like sat in the car and just watched the service from afar. And it really just, you know, it's crazy to think that it's been 20 years. And 9/11 is like one of those things that everyone knows where they were at in that moment. I was in high school. I believe I was in 10th grade. I was in Mr. Barrios' class. And I remember they started turning on the TVs. We didn't understand what was happening. Then our school went on lockdown. Then we got out early. It was just crazy. And it's just something that, you know, has literally changed the landscape of our country. We've lost so many heroes. There were so many people that have died. And you know, my heart goes out to anyone who has lost anyone, or, you know, just to everyone. You know, it's to anyone that experiences trauma for us all. And there are a lot of great documentaries on Hulu and Netflix that I had an opportunity to watch. And y'all know me, I'm an emotional bee. I'm just watching through the documentaries, crying, because it's so sad. And the one bright spot for me in the whole situation is, given the state of our country right now, and just how we're so divided, even after that horrible event of 9/11, I really felt like we came together as a country and we united. And I just wish that we could unite now. But I remember feeling like, you know, just that like support, and you know, just it was a lot. And I was like so young at the time, and I can only imagine to anyone that lived in New York or anyone that knows someone or had a family member. It's just so crazy, and life is short. So it's just always important to show your people love, give people their flowers while they are here. So yes, I am really excited about this episode. Zaddy's at war. Okay. So let me give you the rundown of the episode this week. We've got the church announcements. We've got the casualty with Amon and B. We are talking Blues Clues. We're talking Raven Simone. We talking Texas. We talking Little Nas X. And we're getting the Big Brother update, the cookout. Miss Barb stops by for another installment of Barb's Message. And then, you know, we got the freak of the week. So listen, okay? If you're listening, it's Zaddy's at War. Let's get into these church announcements. On this week's church announcements, you know the word is out. Last week, I did a podcast with the baby boy, he might be Mr. October. I have put a lot of time and energy into the Bryce Isaiah 2022 Zaddy calendar, and I did a reveal podcast with Rob. If you have not checked that out, baby, you need to go run it up and listen to me and Robert reveal the Zaddies that I have chosen. And I am really proud of this Zaddy calendar this year, because listen, y'all, I'll be honest, it almost did not happen. It was a lot, just a lot, you know, and contacting Zaddies, just me and my personal life. You know, it's a financial burden at times to just put up some, you know, funds to get this happen. But I really do enjoy the love that I get from the Zaddy calendar, and the sense of like someone even hit me up on Twitter like a month ago and was saying, hey, are you putting out the Zaddy calendar? You normally put it out this time of the year. And I buy this for my friend for her birthday every year. It's our tradition. And I love the fact that I am able to create something, and it's positive and it shows representation. It's so amazing. So if you have not got your Zaddy calendar already, okay, it's available. Click the link in my bio on the Twitters, on the Instagram, and you could get one. I'm only printing a limited amount this year. So listen, You know what I'm about to say? They going like hotcakes. They are going like hotcakes. So you might want to get it now because I can't guarantee I'm going to have some later on. But yes, I am so proud of this Zaddy calendar and this, you know, I just love the things that I've been able to do with this community through the support of you guys. So thank you so much. Yes, go out there and get it and support your baby boy, a young black entrepreneur out here trying to put these things on my resume. Also, I just wanted to remind you guys, listen, next week we're going to be in New York for the Bryce and Wynn Presents The Return. I'm really excited. Thank you guys, everyone who has gotten their tickets. And I told you guys I was doing a giveaway. I know what I was going to do with the giveaway. I said, email me and I gotcha. And so I'm really excited that a couple of our Purple Pants Posse members reached out. The baby boy, John Ottavano. I think I might be butchering your name. Apologies. Him and his wife are celebrating a wedding anniversary and he want to bring his wife to the watch party of me and Wynn. So I said, come on, come through. It's on your baby boy. And the baby boy, Josh Green, hit me up. And I love to support the people that support me. So I'm so honored. And if you guys got a ticket, I will see you there. Okay. Make sure you bring your mask and show your vaccination card because it is required in New York. And that is going to conclude this week's church announcements.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's get into the casualty. Please. And we are back. First of all, I just have to say, when we record this and I listen to the actual podcast, I literally be jamming to the back. And then I'll be like, why didn't I do it for like 3 more seconds longer? So hold on. We back with the casualty. T, back with the casualty. It's a morning beat. Okay. Listen, I did that for myself because I just want to jam to it because I be jamming. But yes, we are back with the casualty. It's Amon and. B. What's going on, baby boy?
Hello. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. I'm good. I'm good. It's been a long week, but we made it, and lots of stuff has occurred and has happened, and I'm just happy to be back and happy to be talking about it again.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here with you. And yeah, it was funny because we were talking about, before we started recording, we were talking about, you were saying the VMAs and how, like, you were so excited to watch the VMAs.
Yes, yes. I used to be a serial updater on the VMAs whenever they were on. I was such a big fan. Like, this is why Lady Gaga, I always consider Lady Gaga to be my favorite artist, was because of the fact that, like, she was kind of the one that got me excited about music. And I've sort of always been into music. I mean, who doesn't like music, right?
Rah, rah, rah,
exactly. But yeah, she was the first artist that I actually felt connected to. I understood what my parents were talking about when they would talk about some of their favorite artists growing up, and all the people that they would force us to listen to in the car. Like, I never had a relationship with music the way that they did until Gaga. And she has been known for a lot of her VMA performances. And so since then, I've sort of just always been a fan. And people would hate me on Facebook every time the VMAs were on, because I was constantly updating my status. And they'd be like, Amon, you need to go on Twitter. That's what Twitter's for. Go on Twitter. Go on Twitter. And I was like, no, I like Facebook. Like, I don't really be on Twitter. And now, lo and behold, now here I am.
Listen,
on Twitter.
Now you just on Twitter with the Big Brother live feeds. That's so funny.
Yep. Yeah, but I've since graduated.
So let me ask you this. Did you ever get into the BET Awards?
Here and there. There were maybe two ceremonies that I was all were award shows.
So. Okay.
it's an award ceremony. It's a ceremony.
When I think ceremony, I think like auditorium. I think like going to like leaving third grade class and going into the auditorium and having a ceremony. So no.
It's ceremonious.
No.
It's an award show.
No.
All right, fine.
You're not pledging allegiance, it ain't no ceremony, okay?
I mean, well, they have other like ceremonious activities though, like in memoriams and tributes and things like that. Wouldn't you consider that like ceremonious?
It's not a ceremony. If we're not in the auditorium and Principal Harvard is not talking to us, it's not a ceremony.
Okay, I'm gonna look up the definition of ceremony.
No, because let me get back to what I was saying. So I can so relate to you on VMAs, but for me, it was never the VMAs. The VMAs to me were always like, ugh. Not like, so let me change that sound. The VMAs are always like, eh. I love the BET Awards. So the BET Awards for me were it. And when I got into the BET Awards, then I started getting into the AMAs. However, like I would say maybe like 8 years ago, the AMAs, like they had this like weird camera angle that just turned me off. So I've never really been an AMA person, but I always would like watch the recaps. Like, you know, I have like YouTube shows that would cover it. So I always was into it and the red carpet, but I was never into the AMAs. But I can like it it for me. I get it, because like that's how I am with the BET Awards, and I am somewhat excited for the AMAs in the sense that like with COVID and like, you know, things are going back to like live audiences and like live performances, I'm like so excited. I'm so excited for Normandy. I'm so excited for Chloe. I'm so excited for Doja Cat to be hosting. I love like the black girl star power, so that really excites me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I feel like a lot of us have been pining for some black pop action, because for the longest time it's really just been Beyonce and Rihanna that have
Rihanna, the Navy is waiting for the album.
Well, I said for a long time.
Okay.
I feel like over the for the greater half of the last decade, it was Beyonce and Rihanna, and now I feel like there's sort of been a void. Yeah, because Rihanna has not been out here like that anymore. And Beyonce, while I still think that by definition she's still a pop star, I think that like by trade, that's not really her lane. She's more above all of that, not in like a sanctimonious way, but her work is just sort of out of the realm of pop and charts, and you know that that's just not her shtick. She's just sort of more than that to me, at least. And right. So yeah, we've sort of been missing some melanin in the pop background, but now we got Normani here. I mean, she's off and on, but I think she's revving it up again. And of course, Chloe just drops her song, and that was amazing. Lots of fun. That was such a fun video. She had such a good time. I'm excited to see what she's got going next. And of course, Doja Cat. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what these new kids are doing. And like, yeah, I mean, I really haven't been as into the BET Awards only because, and I know that I'm going to have to like, I've had to like swipe my black card several times. I've never really been a big hip hop fan. I mean, and it's not. I'm not even about to be one of these people that's like, I hate the mumble rapping. Like, girl, I never really was a big rap fan to begin with, to even really hate the mumble rapping. I'm just, my proclivities sort of always have just lied more with pop music, because I feel like it's, I appreciate creating moments and iconic performances. And that's not to say that other genres of music aren't doing that as well, because I will certainly check in on the BET Awards for specific performances every year, because there are people that show up that I'm like, yeah, I want to see what Jasmine Sullivan's got going on. Yeah. I want to see what Ari Lennox got going on. I want to see these people, you know what I mean? So it's not like I'm completely absent, but I definitely gravitate more towards the mainstream side of things. I'm a bit of a populist in that way.
I received that. My only correction to you is that like beats, like hip hop is, BET isn't just hip hop. Like it's,
I know,
R&B.
It's also R&B, which I'm, it's also not neo, the biggest soul fan of.
Oh my god, CNS.
I know, it's
so,
it,
like, oh, it's my god, so, see?
It's so, see? But you know what, I won't even say, because that's a harsh statement, I won't even say that I'm not a fan of R&B, because I am, because I grew up listening to it all the time.
Right.
But I think I am a fan of specific type of R&B.
Okay, right.
A lot of the R&B that I listened to growing up was very sleepy to me. It was like stuff that like my parents would put on in the car, and so I would always fall asleep.
We are not talking about
it.
Your parents like R&B.
I know you just named
Ariana Lennox, so like I was screaming at you last time. I ain't gonna scream at you, cause listen,
that's why I retracted my statement saying I'm not a fan of R&B, because I certainly am. I think that I'm a fan of only a few amount of artists, and I think some of that is also just me as a person not really venturing out enough, and that goes with pop music as well. I feel like I just need to do a lot better of a job of just exploring more, because I feel like I sort of get stuck in like the same rhythms. And I think as you get older, it gets harder to get into younger and newer artists, or just like different artists in general, because you kind of get into like little ruts, and I feel like I sort of miss the exploration stage. So there's definitely more out there that I am completely blind to, and I completely acknowledge that. So I think I just need to do a better job at, you know, putting myself out there and listening to more and more artists.
Listen, with the world opening back up and with more live shows, I will agree with that statement. Or maybe not agree, but I will receive it. And I feel like, for me, like, I love R&B music. And I shouldn't even say R&B music. I love music and I love songs. And so, like, a lot of some of the songs that I like are, like, pop. Some of them are R&B. But I like it. But I will say that, like, I feel like a lot of the times I say R&B, but it doesn't, like, you know, Seven Streeter. I don't know if you, like, she's, like,
she's been in here for a minute.
Right. And is she R&B, is she pop? So there's different things. And so I had this random thing that popped into my head, because you know how like for RHAP it was like Chappelle and Jacob, they went to the Big Brother boxing match, and I'm like, you know what, maybe we need to get Rob to sponsor us to go to let me take you on a live show, okay, and we bring the fans along for us going and me introducing you to some real R&B music, okay? So y'all listening to this, tweet Rob and tell him listen, y'all want to see me and Amon at a live concert, okay?
Yeah, I would like that. That sounds like a lot of fun, because I mean, I'm always constantly meeting up with friends all the time, and they're introducing me to new people that I haven't paid much attention to. And a lot of the time they are in the R&B realm. So like, yeah.
Yeah. And live, I feel like, and a live show, it doesn't matter what the genre is, if the
it's
the
always
artist
better,
can,
yeah.
Yes. Like my one friend, Sarah, she introduced me to this singer called Neo, and she's from the UK. And like when she, and mind you, that's me and my friend, Sarah, that's our thing. We love to go to live shows. Like anybody, like we just love mm-hmm. to go PC. And she, I was like, I don't know. I don't want to see no girl named Neo. I went, and you know, before like the week leading up to the concert, I'll listen to the person's catalog. So I'll like at least know the music that is there, and I just have to say I was transformed. I loved it. And so I love when someone invites me to a show that I'm not necessarily familiar with, and I know I'm going to a live show, I'm going to want to listen to the catalog. And so like, we're going to have to do that, whether or not Rob sponsored it or not, we're going to do that and bring it to the Purple Pants Posse. But in the realm of nostalgia, in the realm of, you know, bringing back different things, viewers of the popular children's television series Blue's Clues, okay, they were left distraught after the host Steve Barnes abruptly bid farewell to the show in 2002. Burns suddenly departed from the show had triggered a lot of rumors as to why he left the show. Now, 19 years later, Burns returned to explain why he left the show in a Twitter post on the Nickelodeon Junior page. Burns, aka Steve, he was up in his regular green shirt and a hat. Okay, he looked a little aged in the face, but baby boy still was looking good. And he said, so about that time, Steve went off to college, read the captions of the clip, which now has more than 35 million views on it. In this 2-minute clip, Burns, aka Steve, speaks about his departure from the show while reinforcing a positive tone to encourage fans to look at all things like him that they have achieved since then. I realized that was kind of abrupt, Steve said. I just kind of got up and went to college, and that was really challenging, by the way, but great. I got to use my mind, take a step at a time, and now literally doing all the things that I wanted to do. Now, I always was older, like, you know, I never watched Blue's Clues in the sense, but I had little cousins and little nieces that watched Blue's Clues, so I knew about it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it wasn't anything like I didn't miss it. I didn't even know really he left, but I saw the video circulating and I watched the video. And anybody that knows me, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, we go together. I'm an emotional person, believe it or not. Like, you know, there's spicy, bricey, and I really feel like I should, like, I need an alter ego for my emotional person. Like, I'm very, like, I just, like, I like to go in the moment. I like to, like, whatever somebody is, like, putting out there, I like to receive it. And in that, like, 2-minute video, watching Steve really, like, give closure to his departure, and, you know, reading through the Twitter comments, like, and, you know, actually, I actually pulled up the episode, like, literally, you know, was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, regular episode Friday. He was like, hey guys, my brother, and I forget the brother name, forgive me, Joe, he's coming in, and he just literally left. And I guess it left a lot of fans to be like, oh my God, what's happening? Now, I did read and, you know, get some tea that, like, allegedly he had went on a talk show and was basically saying, like, he had an issue with the imaginary relationship with the fans, and like basically was saying that he felt like he was, like, pouring into the fans, and he wasn't sure whether or not it was true or not. But regardless of the speculations as to why he left, for me, the clip was emotional, or what I gathered from it was that, like, wow, there are a lot of things, a lot of traumas in life that we just don't get closure from. And sometimes we never really know when or why or how we're going to get the closure. But when we do get it, and we're at a different space and time in life that we can receive it, it really just can be, like, impactful and powerful. And I literally, I even go, like, I was, like, shedding tears watching Steve, like, talk to us on this, like, TikTok, YouTube video. It really was just something I didn't know I needed. And that was like the common thread online, was that this is what people were saying, like, oh my God, I didn't know I needed this. And so for me, it's not necessarily about Blue's Clues. For me, it was just, I just was thinking about like, you know, my brother died. I never really got closure. Like, I literally filmed Survivor, got back. I didn't really, like, reach out to him. And he died. I never got closure from that. And so there were just so many instances in my life where I'm just like, wow, like, we just move on. Like, you know, like, there's this trauma with us and we just move on. And so there, these little bits of like pieces that sometimes that we can get closure from, it really can mean the world to us.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of Blue's Clues. I do remember a little bit. Like, I remember the house. I remember salt and pepper and paprika. I remember that. But I think I stopped. I don't know if it was my parents stopped us from watching it eventually, or I just stopped watching it. But I think I kind of stopped when I was really young, like around maybe like 5 or 6, because by the time Steve had like left the show, I had already not watched it. And I remember being sad about it, but not being as affected as a bunch of my friends were, because they would talk about it all the time, and I'd be like, I stopped watching that show a while ago. But yeah, I think this kind of was eye-opening to see just how much energy that post got.
Right.
And just how many people were upset about it. And I mean, you said, wait, so you said that one of the reasons that he left was because he didn't feel like the relationship that he had with the kids that watching the show wasn't genuine? I'm confused.
So he went on a late night show maybe in like 2005. Mm-hmm. And the quote was, he was uncomfortable with the imaginary friendship he had with his viewers. And so what I perceive that to believe is that, like, you know, it's a PBS show. It's Blue's Clues. It's like, you know, you can be anything you want. Like, you can, like, you know, and maybe I'm feeling like he was saying that, like, the what I'm putting out there is maybe not always, like, you know, the world isn't just this fun and great, like, gray place. And that, like, you know, that's just what I got from that article that I read. So it's never been confirmed as to why he left. Now, in the video, he says he went to college. But for me, I read past that. For me, it's like when people, first of all, in the Black community, if your parent, your cousin, your brother in jail sometimes, and you're younger to process it, we say he went to college. So for me, I take that as like, he just moved on with his life. Or like, you know what I'm saying? And he's clearly in a better place. So for me, again, it's not so much the speculation as to like what happened, why. Maybe he got too older. They wanted to bring in another like
That's
person.
What I thought it was. I thought that he, because there were so many things that were going around. Like, I remember as a kid hearing crazy shit like, oh, he died, or he had a drug overdose. It was heroin, stuff like that. Like, I, for a good, like, portion of my young childhood, I thought that Steve was dead. So, not until I got to middle school, and for whatever reason, the subject of Blue's Clues would, you know, come up as you're talking with your friends about old shows that you used to watch. Then it was like, no, he's not dead. He just, he decided to leave the show, or he got fired from the show, or this and the third. Because I thought that he was 29 years old at the time of leaving the show. And so I'm
which
just,
is still relatively young, though. Like, you know,
yeah.
And doing a show like that, and you're in that role, and he did it for a while. We know, and we see these childhood actors, like, you know, Orlando Brown from the That's So Raven show.
God.
Like, we know the pressures that these people on these kids' shows are faced. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's almost like you're living a double life. And for me, when I read that of him being like the imaginary relationship with his fans, I got that. And so, again, I also feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, that like the outpouring of why this message is getting across to so many people, not because it's Blue's Clues, I really just feel like it's the fact that we got closure from it. The fact that he actually came back. For me, I think of relationships. You ever been ghosted by somebody, or a relationship ever ended you and like you loved, like you think this boy, you're going to be your boyfriend for life, and then he just ghosts you. And it's like, you know, you never get that closure, and you always like, was it me? Was it like, you know, and for me, yeah. That's what the what I got, and that's what I feel like why this has been such a newsworthy story, is because it's like, yes, it's Blue's Clues, but it's the actual, like, 19 years later, he coming back and saying, like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have left like that. Maybe you guys deserve better. And let me tell you why. And for me, and again, I'm just speaking for myself. For me, it gave me closure in a lot of other areas in my life. And I think that that's why I got so emotional by it. And I think that that's why everyone is getting so emotional by it. It's like, okay, it's Blue Clues, we get it. But it's like, wow, like, this is what closure looks like. This is like, you know, being triggered, being traumatized by something. And I even got, somebody DM'd me, because I had, like, tweeted this. And someone DM'd me and said that they have an autistic son. And their autistic son never took to the brother, Steve's brother. I don't know if his name is Joe, but for podcast purposes, the brother named Joe.
I think it's Joe. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. And she was saying her son never took to Joe. And, like, you know, her son, that was very traumatic for her son. And so I can imagine the millions of kids that watched it at that time. It's just, and I don't mean to make this like a sad segment. For me, it's like a positive segment that, like, you know what? When you least expect things, or like when you least expect something, you might get the closure that, like, you thought you were healed from. And then you, I don't know. For me, I look at it as a positive, and why I think the message is so strong that he came back 19 years later.
Yeah, now isn't Joe gone too now at this point? Isn't it someone new?
I don't watch the Blues. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know where Joe at. But I'm sure, I know Blue's Clues is not on TV anymore.
Well, I'm glad that everyone was sort of able to get what they needed out of this, because, yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that your childhood is so formative, and things that happened in your childhood stick with you for the rest of your life. And this is just one of those many, many examples. So I completely understand.
Yes. And for me, the greater message is, like, anyone listening, that there are a lot of things in life that is just out of our control. Right. There are a lot of things in life that you will not get closure on. There are a lot of things in life that, like, are unfair. It's, you don't, y'all know my story. Y'all know our story. Like, there are a lot of things in life that just, it just is not. And I think that it's little things like this that, I don't know if it, like, if it just, if it's the rainbow after the storm, it's just, I don't know. I can't really do a great job of verbalizing what I am feeling, but I hope that whoever is listening can kind of sort of make through my mumble jumble of just saying that, like, you know, keep pressing on. Like, you know, allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to, like, you know, allow yourself to realize that things aren't in your control. And I think sometimes that's just enough.
Right. It says the show it had a revival in 2019 with, it's called Blues, Clues, and You Now with Joshua De La Cruz. And the show premiered on November 11, 2019. So I guess it's back-ish. I don't know if the pandemic screwed it up, because that would have been crazy, but yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had brought up Orlando Brown from the That's So Raven show, and it also leads me to Raven Simone. She recently was making some headlines, and I originally, when I read the headlines, I thought one way, and then prepping for this podcast, I read some more things, and I thought another way, and I was like, ooh, I'm so excited to talk to you about this, because I'm curious to know your thoughts, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on my thoughts. So, when Raven Simone stepped back into her shoes as the character of Raven Baxter for the Disney Channel spinoff Raven's Home, which premiered in 2017, it was several years after she had come out as a member of the LGBTQ community. But when she was offered the opportunity for her character to depict a lesbian, she declined. Raven said, "I was asked a question, would you like Raven Baxter Baxter to be a lesbian? And I said no. Raven Simone revealed on the latest episode of the podcast Pride, the actress who has been married to Miranda since 2020 told Pride host that she had simply one reason for turning it down. The reason was I wasn't, or the reason she said no, because I wasn't proud of who I was, or I didn't want to represent the LGBTQ plus community in any way. It was because Raven Baxter is Raven Baxter is Raven Baxter, and there was no reason for me to change the human that she was in order to fit the actress that she played.
Okay.
So, it's that last part for me a little bit. Now, let me give y'all backstory. I've loved Raven Simone. I've loved Raven Simone as Olivia on the Cosby shows. Raven Simone was on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I just always love Raven Simone. And I will even admit to, I have purchased 3 of Raven Simone's albums.
come on.
Now
I want to see a backflip.
Cartwheel. Hold on. Wait a minute. I think I'm going to have to get a backflip up on here. Wait a minute. I am shocked that you know what. Hold on. Wait. Why?
How could I not know that?
Oh my God.
They were playing that song on Disney Channel all the time.
Oh my God. Hold on. Where you at?
I need to see you to believe it.
Always gonna be there. Oh, what? You always gonna be there.
Is what you want
to do. I wanna see you. On me. Okay.
All that you need. I need to see you to believe it.
Okay, now wait a minute. Backflips was in jail now. Okay, so listen. My friends hate me because, like, now, mind you, she got like 3 other jams on that album. And look, okay, so anyway, listen. She got jams, okay? Listen, I don't care who the singer is. For me, it's the jams, it's the lyrics, it's the vibe. So anyway, I've always been a huge fan of Raven Simone. And even when this album came out, I think it was like It's My Time. It's after like maybe the 3rd season of That's So Raven. And even when That's So Raven came out on the Disney Channel, I was like in high school. This show was targeted for like elementary school. I wanted to support Raven. Like, she was a black woman. She was around my age. I just loved everything about her. And so, yeah, that's just my Raven Simone story. However, you know, over the years, Raven's been on The View. She's done some things that I don't always, like, agree with. And then when she came out as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. I love it. And then when, you know, Raven's Back or Raven's Home came back out, and I believe it's even still on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. I love to see the continued success of a black queer woman. And I thought when this little interview started circulating, I thought it was interesting. But it's like, it's just for me, and I'm gonna be very candid, and this might not be the popular opinion, and so please at any point interject. And for me personally, as a gay black man, how do I want to say this? It's just, at times it is challenging for me with, because I want to choose my words rightly, because I don't want to like disrespect anybody, but I also want to be authentic to like how I feel.
Just say what you feel.
I just, sometimes as me as a gay black man, I often, not that like I have resentment to like, a lesbian, but oftentimes I feel like we're lumped together, and I feel like our struggles are different. And you know, and I love everybody, but like, and you know, sometimes I feel like I don't know. Like, and just like, so let me give you context. Like, you know, for me, one of my biggest disappointments is like, or not biggest disappointments, or one of the things that I wish that people, like for me, I, and again, because I want to be careful, because I don't want to offend anyone, and I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm just speaking from a very vulnerable and honest place as me as a gay man. And for me, like, I don't, there is no choice. Like, you know, I can't, like, not pretend that I'm not gay. Like, I'm just myself. And so sometimes, you know, I've said this before, like, you know, like, people like Queen Latifah, and again, everyone's road is different, and you know, to each his own. But the one disappointing thing for me with Queen Latifah is that, like, why have you not come out and, like, represented for your community, like, and, like, paved the way, and, like, you know, and over the years she has made a lot of strides. She's talked about her partner in interviews, and so, you know, I guess with this Raven Simone thing, it kind of struck a chord with me when I first read it. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And I can understand, like, you know, I want to keep the continuity of Raven, like, you know, Raven Baxter as Raven Baxter. However, you're a part of the LGBTQ plus community. You're a huge celebrity. And given the opportunity for you to change lives, given the opportunity for you to, like, and you decline it, and your reason is that, like, I don't know, and I get it, because everyone's road and journey is different, and I get it. She was at a place where she was not comfortable, and like, you know, that was me 20 years ago, but I just feel like, and especially in the Black community, like, we don't have positive imagery. We don't see a lot of, you know, people like Raven Simone, who is, like, multifaceted, who's a celebrity, an icon, in my opinion, like, you know, and I feel like you dropped the ball here. And yeah, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, like, what I just said right now, because I'm like, I feel it very uncomfortable.
No, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. So for me, I think I tend to believe her when she said that it has nothing to do with my identity. It's not that I'm ashamed of who I am. It's because, I mean, she did come out before Raven Simone was even a thing. It's not that she's ashamed. It's just that why does the character have to be gay because I'm gay? I mean, I think it's fine for me to be a lesbian woman and portray someone who is straight. I think, it's something for me. I mean, maybe because I have done a lot of acting in my life. One of the things that I've always had a gripe with was, I mean, because of the way that I sound, because right. of the way that I move, it's a little harder for me to pass as straight. So I just know for a fact that there are so many roles that I'm never going to get, because people are just going to be like, how is he really supposed to make us think that he's straight? For Raven, and maybe this is what you were talking about a little before when you started talking about how for some lesbians it's sort of easier for them to go back and forth. I totally get that. That is something that I wish that I sort of could travel back and forth between from time to time. I'm still struggling with, I mean, look, I came out to my mom during this podcast, guys. Like, it's still a very new experience for me trying to be open and honest with everybody in my life, because there are still pockets of my life where I'm sort of still in the closet. So I don't ever really believe in rushing anybody's process. And I know that's not what you're saying. But I just, I don't know. I understand. And maybe Raven making Raven Baxter, the character, continue to be straight. Maybe there is a little bit of like, I don't want to have to, I'm already persecuted for being gay in a sense. So I don't want to have to like carry that over into my character. But I feel like that character is so beloved, and I don't think that there really is anything. I don't think that you really need to change it. Right. If she were to be a lesbian, who cares? Great. Right. There are lots of people that find themselves later in life, and you could easily write that into her story. But Raven was like, I don't think that Raven's gay. I think Raven is straight, and I think that's okay. So I don't, you know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I love the show, but I guess for me, it's just like, and again, I think this is just like me personally, like I just am disappointed in the sense of, like, I would have loved to see that evolution. And again, like she said, like, you know, she wasn't at a place where she was ready to represent the LGBTQ plus. She wasn't at a place where she could accept herself, and I get that. And for me, I guess the part that makes me disappointed is not so much in Raven, but, like, you know, somebody that is a child star, somebody that, and again, I say this because, like, we just were singing Raven Simone Backflip. I have three of her albums. Like, I look to her as, like, a role model. And to even know that someone in her iconic stature still deals with the pressures that, like, we deal with, that's the part that's, like, disappointing for me.
But I would argue that I think that she's done what she can in terms of coming out.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I guess I'm speaking from a place of, like, I guess, like, you know, the fact that, like, you know, that she felt as though she couldn't be proud. And for me, when I read the article, I felt like she wasn't at a place where she was proud enough to even want to, like, it's almost as if, like, she didn't want to, like, tarnish Raven Baxter adding that onto her. And so, like, I don't know. It's such a complex issue. And
my emotions are, like, it also could be because, like, look, if I'm playing a character, right, for a number of years, it was the most successful show on the network for a time, and then I come out a few years later, and then a few years after that, then I'm asked to come back and play the character again. And one of the first questions that they ask me as we're writing the script is, "Do you want this character to be gay?" I'd be like, "Why? Because I'm gay." You know, like, why does it? Just because I'm gay, that's not all that I am.
No, true. I received that. But I also feel like the name of the show is That's a Raven, Raven's Home. It is loosely based off of you. And I feel like evolution, you've changed, you've grown. I feel like it's a missed opportunity for the greater good. I understand and I completely get the reasoning. Like, everything does not have to be about sexuality. We don't have to change a lot of things. Again, my disappointment is that, like, just the missed mark of the representation that could have been there. And also making me feel like sad for Raven that she's so successful and so many people love her. And, like, you know, in the article, she was just saying, like, she wasn't proud of herself. She didn't want to represent the community. And maybe it's just taking me back to my high school days when I didn't want to be gay. I didn't want anything to be associated with it.
I thought that she said the article where she was saying the opposite of that.
Let me pull it back.
Thought she was saying that it's not because I didn't want to, and it's not because I wasn't proud. It's just that I thought Raven was straight, essentially.
So the reason I said no wasn't because I wasn't proud. Oh, you're right. Okay, maybe it wasn't because I wasn't proud of who I was. Okay. Or I didn't want to represent the LGBTQ plus community in any way. Raven Simone said it's because Raven Baxter is Raven Baxter. Okay. So maybe you're right. See, get me together.
And that's why I said earlier, I was like, maybe there is a little bit of that still in there. Maybe there is, like, a little bit of insecurity in there. Maybe she didn't want to have to face the backlash of, oh my God, Raven's gay. So now she has to make this character gay, like gay. Like, why is it all gay now? Like, maybe she didn't want to have to do it. I totally understand that. I tend to believe more that it was just about Raven is straight, and that's okay, you know, and I'm fine playing a straight person. I mean, she had to play a straight person on and off the camera for her whole life, so
right.
It's not like it's anything new.
And so, I mean, this just is such an interesting and such a complex subject. And I'm like, I love the fact that we're able to, like, talk through it through the podcast. But again, for me personally, like, I would have loved to see it. And again, like, you know, just for me, it's just more representation. And I'm glad that you were able to, like, get me together. They're like, yeah, that's not what she is saying. However, again, that's like 15-year-old Bryce is reading this, and, like, you know, that's how quickly we switch back, and, like, we talk about Blue's Clues and, like, closure, like, literally, like, on air, mm-hmm. Like, literally, that was me switching back, being like, what, like, I don't, like, you know, but I love it. And I for me personally, I wished we could have would have seen it, but I do get the continuity of it. And why do I have to be gay? Because I am gay. But I also say, like, you are gay, so, like, The show is Raven's back. You are Raven. Like, I don't know.
But she's Raven Baxter.
I mean, I know. I mean, I know.
She did used to talk about that on the View too all the time. She'd be like, I'm so tired of people assuming that I am Raven Baxter just because we share the same name. I'm not Raven Baxter. I'm Raven Simone. So I think that also probably could have been a lot as the reason as to why, because she was, I mean, there were people already assumed that there was so much overlap between the two because they share the name, but it's not that way, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it. Like, I ultimately think that the more representation, the better. I just don't. I don't know if it's always. I don't think that. I understand not wanting to have that burden all of the time, and you shouldn't have to have that burden all the time. Like, you don't have to be the poster child for whatever demographic you belong to. You can sort of, you
know. And maybe that's where my feeling comes in at, because I don't get that option. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, I don't get the option of, like, I don't get to choose today whether or not, like, I want to, like, you know.
But I think that this is a little different, only because she can't unring the bell now. You know, she already came out as a lesbian, so no matter where she goes, she's going to be identified that way, because she identified herself that way. So I don't think that she can go back into the closet, and I don't think that saying that you don't want Raven Baxter to be gay is going back into the closet. I just think. Because I think that she's still representing as being a gay woman on a children's television show, and being openly gay. And maybe not all of the kids that are watching Disney Channel know that she's gay. Maybe they don't. I think that's sort of impossible nowadays, because I feel like the veil that was between the artist and the art is so thin nowadays. Like, we know everything about these celebrities' lives because they have iPhones up their asses everywhere they go. So.
No, that's an excellent point. And I, you know what? I don't think I looked at it like that. Whether, like, she still is a queer woman of color, on a nationally syndicated show. I don't think I looked at it like that.
Yeah, I mean, she's out here. And she, I mean, and it's so funny, because you can, we can have opinions like yours, and there are plenty of people, gay people, that are like, she don't represent me. Not her. She's.
There have been a couple of times when she was on The View that I was just like, ooh, chalet. However, I still respect Raven, and
I love Raven too.
I still admire her, and I look up to her. Like, I could only, like, wish to have the success of, like, half of what she's had. But again, I feel like conversations and dialogues like this are, like, crucial, and important to have. Like, opinions can vary, and, it's with respect and it's with love that, like, we can talk about it, which is why I wanted to put this on there, because I honestly, like, when I read it, like, I didn't know why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. And that's why I was like, ooh, this is great. I'm going to talk to Amana.
I mean,
this.
I totally get that, though. I get that annoying part of, like, not being able to
figure out where it's right.
I get that. It's I'm still dealing with that as well. I'm still dealing with, like, my own struggles with my identity, and, like, you know, am I too femme? Am I too mask? Like, I deal with that all the time.
So, yeah, it's a struggle. And I think that, like, you know, and especially from, like, my perspective, it's one hard for me at times to, like, swallow. And, you know, I can't expect everyone to be on the journey that I am, but I also have to respect the person as the person. And I think that where a lot that I am going wrong is that I'm guilty of, like, equaling Raven Simone as Raven Baxter. And I think that I can't, and I need to separate the two. And I can understand why she would make that decision, and maybe a hard decision. Maybe that was, like, you know, like, I mean, yeah, it's just a lot of layers to it. And especially if you are a person of color, and, you know, a queer person, or a member of the LGBTQ plus community, like, there is a lot to go through. And sometimes, like, we're a lot harder on ourselves. Right. And I think that, like, this conversation was a perfect example of that. But you can ask questions, you can have different opinions. But we love Raven, okay? And I still want to see the backflip.
Raven. I can see.
Wait, but how about maybe about 4 years ago when her and Chelsea, like, when they were at, like, a karaoke bar and they did that, like, they performed it live. Have you ever seen that video?
I don't think I've seen
that. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh,
gave
my
me
God.
Chills. Like, I loved it.
I love stuff like that when, like, old co-stars come together after a number of years.
Yes, and they killed it. I loved it. And so I guess we can kind of sort of segue up on into Texas. Yeah.
All righty, then. Here we go.
I knew
we had to talk about it.
We've talked about it before, you know, we've talked about abortion before, but baby, Texas then took it to a new level with the heartbeat bill. The bill bans abortion whenever an ultrasound can detect what lawmakers define as a fetal heartbeat, which can be early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. Medical and legal experts say the term is misleading because embryos don't possess a heart at that developmental stage. It includes cases where women have been impregnated by rape or incest. There is an exception for medical emergencies. Similar bills have been passed by other states and held up by the courts, but Texas' version has a twist. Instead of having the government enforce the law, the bill turns the reins over to private citizens who are newly empowered to sue abortion providers or anyone who helps someone get an abortion after a fetal heartbeat has been detected. The person would have to be, doesn't have to be connected to someone who had an abortion or to a provider to sue. Proponents of the new law hope to get around the legal changes that have tied up abortion restrictions in courts, while abortion providers typically sue the state to stop restrictive abortion laws from taking effect. They go to the Supreme Court to, like, put injunctions. However, the Department of Justice on Thursday sued Texas over its restrictive new abortion laws, saying that the state legislature enacted has stopped or is not following the Constitution in an open defiance of the Constitution. The lawsuit comes after the Supreme Court stacked 6-3 with conservative justices last week refused to block the controversial abortion law, which bans almost all abortions after as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. And we know this is like Roe versus Wade, which is like the huge big controversy and the Supreme Court decision, which people feel like this Texas law, well, not people feel like it is, it's directly like it's violating the Constitution, but they are going around it by having, instead of people suing the state, they can directly sue the abortion providers. And again, my stance on this has never changed. Why? Again, and mostly of these lawmakers and mostly these people are white men. Why are these white men and these women's uterus? It's like, it's just what I just don't understand. I'ma just be frank. I'ma just say it. I don't understand it.
I think the worst part of all of it. I don't even know if I can even find the words. It's all bad. But the thing that sticks out to me a lot is the fact that they are, as many have already put it, deputizing citizens to go after women who are seeking abortions. And they are also being, the state is going to pay for any of the legal fees that they would incur for trying to sue someone, even someone that they don't even know. If they just happen to find out that someone got an abortion.
Or you could be the Uber driver. You could be an Uber driver and a woman going to get an abortion. You have no idea. You just picking her up and dropping her off. You can be sued.
That's part of the reason as to why they were able to circumvent the Supreme Court from blocking it was because the state was like, well, we're not enforcing it. The citizens are. So you're just going to have to figure out a way to around that. And it's just like, how insidious do you have to make this just to, like... And then it just, I think it just creates so much more animosity between the citizens that have different beliefs as it is. Because now you are literally allowing people to go after one another. I don't understand how you think that's going to make anything better.
For me, at my old job, I worked literally down the street from a Planned Parenthood clinic, and I believe maybe they conducted abortions like on Tuesday and Thursdays. And the people that would protest outside of the clinic, and I would literally watch them berate women as they would walk into the clinic. It's just like, and for me, again, this law, and let's just be clear, like, the people that it's affecting are low income, people of color. Like, you know, it's a very specific audience, because please believe that some of these lawmakers, they daughters, they nieces, if they for ever reason needed to get an abortion, they gonna have the means to fly to different state or to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just right. Like, it's like these laws are targeting an audience, a specific audience, a melanated audience. It's just like, I don't understand it. And again, I'm a gay black man. I stand with women. I know what it's like to be oppressed. I know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your body, it's your choice. Period.
I think that's the thing that I think this is such a contentious thing, and it will always be such a contentious thing, because there are people that believe in the sanctity of life, which I totally understand. There are people that believe that once conception happens, there is a life there, and it is unfair for other people to come in, even the mother, to say, this life, I'm going to end it because inconvenience, because this, whatever the reason. There are people that just are fully against it because they just believe in life, and that it just is what it is. The religion tells them that that's what it is. And in some cases, some people, that's not even driven by religion. They just, that's just what they believe. But the problem is, not everybody believes the same thing. And we are also having a hard time at figuring out where, like, how to define life. Like, is life as soon as the embryo comes into existence, or is life when it forms into a fetus? Where there's so, like, where everybody's disagreeing over when it is and how much power they have to tell other people what to do. It's like, if you believe that person is committing a sin, some religion tells you to go ahead and get that person to stop sinning. And to me, I'm like, well, what if someone else is not a part of that religion? So now you're pretty much over here telling them what they can and can't do, and you're saying it's because of what you read in this book, and that person isn't subscribed to that. So how do we move past this? How do we move past this? I genuinely don't know. I just feel like this has been such an issue for so long, and I don't see an end in sight. Because it just seems like it's an ebb and flow. Like, you get shit like this with Texas, where they're turning everybody on one another. And then maybe 10 years from now, that shit gets overturned. And then some other state comes up with it again. And it's like, what are we doing here? You know, right. Like...
And maybe this is a blanket statement, but I just feel like, so now y'all care about lies, but when we say Black Lives Matter, then it's a different start, right? Yep. You know, lives matter, right? Oh, okay. Like, I just, like, it just, for me, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. And I don't have a uterus. I don't bear children, but I believe that it's a woman's right, and she has the decision to make that. And my mom always says back, like, my mom always says, what you eat don't make me sh. And I feel like it's just, yeah, like, I don't understand it. And And like I've said before, I don't get me wrong. I understand, like, you know, putting restrictions on like abortions, you know, when you 7 months pregnant, you know,
right.
I understand that. Like, you know, but y'all talk about 6 weeks. Some women don't even find out they're pregnant until they second trimester. Like, it's just like,
right.
Like y'all are just, it's just.
And that's where the issue lies. It's like people, where are we defining it? What's the definition? And I feel like people cannot agree on that. People believe that, some people believe it's at conception. Some people believe it's when the fetus develops. And it's like, well, if we can't even agree on what we're arguing, then I don't know how.
Yeah. And it's like, let's be clear. People are still going to have abortions. And like, you're making it more dangerous because now people are going to be going to like garages. Now people, like, you know, I'm like back in the 70s, the 60s, when like, you know, people were going to other people's houses and women were dying.
Yeah. Ultimately, this seems to be a lot more about control just by the wording of the law and what the measures that they are going in order to enact it. It just seems a lot more about control than it does about abortion itself.
Right. And again, I feel like, you know, this is a systemic thing. Like, don't get me wrong, it affects everyone, but specifically the people that it affects,
mm-hmm.
should tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Just like these voter laws, the people that it specifically targets should tell you something.
I mean, one would think, right? Just only makes sense, you know? It only makes sense.
I Texas, get y'all shit together, okay? Which is why, for me, I take voting serious. As soon as I became eligible to vote, every county election, every election that I could partake in, I try to do my due diligence. And I think that it is important for us, these lawmakers, these senators, these governors that we put into place, like, we need to do our research. We need to show up, not just when it's a contentious election. We, the people, we got to do the work. And yeah. The one thing that I love about this new generation that's coming up, ooh, child, that just made me sound so old. Ooh, child. Not the new generation. But, you know, like, y'all about action. Like, y'all about, like, you know, speaking up. Y'all, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I need y'all to show up. I need for y'all to, like, you know, I understand it might be your religious beliefs and, you know, but child, didn't the religious beliefs say, child, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell because I like men? It's just like the rules in which y'all pick and choose from is just like astounding to me. Like, it's like, okay, so y'all, we just cherry picking what we want to cherry pick. Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, I think the heartbeat bill is disgusting. And I think that it's a woman's right, and she should be able to choose. And again, with the health and safety of the woman and the child at a certain point in time, yes, I get it. But 6 weeks, like, really, like, it's a lot. And I don't know what to say, because it doesn't seem like you said, this argument is going anywhere, because it's been very contentious in this country for a very long time. But again, I feel like these laws have a lot also to do with garnering support for, like, the elections that, like, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of, it's just a lot going on. And, I don't agree with it. I can't say that I agree with it. And again, listen, I with my women, I don't have a universe,
right.
But it's y'all's, your decision. I want, like, listen, I want to be myself and live my life. It's your life. I respect you. And listen, I'll go to bat for y'all. I don't, right. Like, I don't understand it.
Right. I mean, the fact that there aren't a lot of women that are even on the panel making the decision is like, that should tell you, like, I mean, it's, hey, but this is what they do. This is what they do. This is what they've been doing. But we're on to you. We're on to you.
We see you. So, but the problem is that, like, the people that support it, like, it's just like, I mean, it's just like, I get it, but like, I don't get it. Like, I don't, it's hard for me to comprehend it. And, Yeah. So we're just going to leave it at that. But listen, it was making the headlines. And, you know, we don't shy away from tough conversations here on the Casual Tea.
No, honey.
And the next segment or listen is that, like, you know, I wasn't a huge Lil Nas X fan. I know that you love Lil Nas X, and, like, you know, your love of Lil Nas X for me is like rubbed off of me. And we know that he has an album coming out. What's called Montreal.
wait, did I kill it? No. Am I saying it wrong? What's the name of the album?
no!
Montana. Morel.
Oh my God, it's Montero.
Montero. I was close. You knew what I meant, though.
Montreal.
I didn't know. Listen, I didn't know.
It's his first name. His actual name is Montero.
Montero. And we know Lil Nas X has been in the headlines. Child, you know, he put blood in the sneaker. Y'all said he was Satan worshiping. Tony Hawk does it. Y'all buy the skateboards and love it. And, you know, he's been pushing the limits for representation, living his life as a Grammy award winning queer black male. We love it. However, you know, the black community at times, especially black men with toxic masculinity, they don't like to see a queer male living his best life. For some reason in this world, and especially in the black community, they correlate feminine, they correlate a lot of different characteristics as weakness, and I don't understand it. Cultivates a lot of self-hate in the gay community. But that's another podcast for another day. However, Lil Nas X, in promotion of his album, which I love it, you know, many of artists say their album is like their baby. So listen, Lil Nas X took pregnancy photos and said his baby coming in 2 weeks. I love it, you know, and also kind of trolling the world. Like, you know what? Y'all want to keep talking about me and the things that I'm doing. Guess what? I'm going to give you something to talk about. However, the rapper from down south, Lil Boosie, never really knew him personally. I have heard his songs because, you know, Baby Boy Goes Out. I used to jam to Wipe Me Off, Wipe Me Off. Okay, that's a jam. Okay, that's a jam. It's like, you know, but Lil Boosie, we've talked about him on the Casual Tea with Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade with their daughter, Zaya, and them allowing their daughter, Zaya, to transition and them supporting it. Lil Boosie has some to say. Now Lil Boosie has a hard on for Lil Nas X. Anything Lil Nas X does, he comments. And so when Lil Nas X came out with these pregnancy photos, which is fun, cute, like, you know, we get, like, it's art, we get it, you know, 6:15 a.m. the next morning, Lil Boosie takes to Twitter and says, Nas X, WTF, you just don't stop. I think he's going to turn around and suck one of his background dancers on national TV. Hashtag protect yourselves. Hashtag God is turning over in his grave. Hashtag Lil Boosie, you don't know God is risen? You don't know they turned the tomb over and he is risen? What grave? Anyway, first of all, what, like, again, for the heterosexual men that are so bothered by gay men, I just am like, I'm always perplexed by it. And it's like, you, Lil Boosie, allegedly a heterosexual man, waking up 6 a.m. in the morning thinking about Lil Nas X giving fellatio to his background dancer? I just don't think that should be at the forefront of your mind.
So, you know, normally I do not like to subscribe to the line of thinking that if people are being overtly homophobic, that they must be gay. I feel like at some point, I think that some people are just homophobic and it is what it is. But when it comes to Lil Boosie...
Why you say his name like that? What's his name?
Lil Bussy. Ah! When it comes to that mofa, it's giving very much.
You want the bussy, okay?
It's just giving very much that, because it's been years at this point.
Okay.
Sade has been at this for years. Boy alone.
Right. He not like, and
furthermore,
go off.
Lil Nas X is a troll. Okay? He is a troll. He loves messing with y'all because y'all give him this attention and you expose yourselves as bigots every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does he do? He's like, oh, look at him. Oh, he's bothered. Let me do something real. We're going to mess him up. Let me go get pregnant.
Okay.
So, in third of all, why is everybody acting like people didn't pretend to be pregnant as kids all the time?
Okay. Y'all ain't never play house. Okay.
I used to walk around with a balloon under my stomach acting like I was pregnant all the time.
I damn sure was the mom in the house. Okay. Many a days. Like, stop it. It's baffling.
Also, you're just not, little Boosie, you're not hip. You're just not hip. Because it's also a joke, okay? Not only is it just an overt joke because he's pretending to be pregnant, but the fact that, like, the general notion of being pregnant with your album is also a stand Twitter joke. Lady Gaga said that shit like 3 years or like 5 years ago when everybody was talking, when she had pregnancy rumors. She was like, the only thing I'm pregnant with is my next release. So this is exactly what Lil Nas X is doing. He is a troll. He is a stan, okay? He has lived and breathed in these stan Twitter streets, standing Nicki Minaj and all these other hoes with the rest of us. And now he's made it. And now he hasn't forgotten where he's come from. So he still employs the same sense of humor that got him there. He is a troll. He loves memes. He loves moments. He loves pop culture. And he just so happens to be gay. Leave him alone. Because you look dumb. You look really, really dumb. This is the same dude. You're the same guy that said that you allegedly paid somebody to rape your son to prove that he was freaking straight.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's also talk about first of all, you're so concerned with Lil Nas X, Lil Boosie. I feel like maybe you should be spending that time teaching your children about the importance of safe sex. Lil Boosie went on the Breakfast Club to say that one of his sons, younger sons, 17, a girl is going around saying that she's pregnant with twins. And Lil Boosie's like, she's lying. I don't believe her. Maybe you should spend that time educating your black sons on the importance of safe sex. It's just like, I don't have time. Okay. And at this point, I really feel like maybe Lil Boosie, maybe if you was pregnant with an album, maybe you have a hit. Maybe you have your original Instagram back. Maybe, like, you know, it's just like, and I don't get it. Like, are you mad?
Talk to, like, Mark Zuckerberg because his Instagram got shut down or something. Try to schedule a meeting with him.
Don't nobody want you. Nobody wants to help you.
Mark Zuckerberg is busy probably trying to colonize Mars along with Elon Musk. He is not worried about your shut down Instagram account because you probably said some homophobic shit on there anyway.
But again, you know, for me, I'm a commentator, and what it always is so disheartening when I see these posts of Lil Boosie and these sound bites, and I like scroll through the comments, and you know, like the algorithms on the social media is like a lot of the comments that you are like first like, you know, brought to are like people that are in your like circle, that people like, you know, and it's just really disheartening to see how many people like agree with his ignorant statements. And at this point, it's like, I see what you're doing, Lil Boosie. Like, the only time you get pressed is not about your music, not about Lil Boosie Bash. And let's not mention that he held a bash in Louisiana and Baton Rouge the day before the Hurricane Ida hit, and he had the baby come and perform. But I just let that, like, it's just like, you're an ignorant person, and it's like the only time you get press is when you bring up Lil Nas X name. But it's just like, we see you. It's like you've been exposed. And again, I don't even listen to his ignorant statements, but I just hate the following
they're
of
just,
people
they're just
that
mad
just,
they're mad because he is occupying a space that they thought was only for them for so long. There was only straight black men in the realm of hip hop for so long. And then, you know, you had a few white boys that snuck up in there as well and have gotten famous, like,
and are
still been doing good with that as well. And then you have women, but then, you know, for a time, you only let one woman really be at the top, and it was Nicki Minaj and Outer
Limits. It was Lil' Kim.
Before Nicki, of course.
Sorry.
But no, it's fine. I know you love your girl. And now that there is a young gay black gentleman, you are
Grammy award winning,
probably about to pick up a few VMAs tonight as well. Now you're upset because you have this image of what hip hop is supposed to look like and who is supposed to come from, but now it's coming from somebody that you deem to be lesser than, and so now you have an issue with it. And to that I say, F off. It's you're late, you're tired, and it's old. It's getting really, really old. You probably get more press, even if you wanted to fake it, you'd probably get more press if you came out in support of him and said, you know what, this dude is really out here representing for a lot of other young black gay men who go through a very specific struggle within the black community, and he is doing his best to show them that they can be whoever the hell they want to be. Maybe they all won't be pop stars, but he's one, and he's going to use this time to make the most of it. But here you are talking
tearing
about
this black man down, right?
Talking about fellatio, and it's just like, girl,
bussy. I can't. So I don't even want to spend any more time dignifying Lil Boosie, but I do want to spend some time on some history that was made this week. Okay, it's looking like the cookout done did the thing. So listen, give us the tea.
Yep. So we all know the story, right? A bunch of black people got up in that house this year. Six of them. They have came together, well, at least five of them did initially, five of them including Hannah, came together to form this thing, and Hannah got added in a couple of weeks later on, and they have been, you know, circumventing everything, and even when they're not HOH, they have one of their pawns win HOH and then manipulate that pawn into doing what the cookout wants. And this past Thursday, it was a double eviction, and they got rid of the last two remaining non-cookout members, becoming the most successful alliance in all of Big Brother history, becoming the first time where the Big Brother house is populated solely by black people. And of course, there is lots of discourse, lots of opinions on either side of the aisle. Some people think that this is the most racist season ever. Some people understand that this is just a reaction to the disadvantages that African Americans have been at in this game, and so on and so forth. There are people that are in the middle. I most certainly am cheering them on. I love that this has happened. I feel like it has long since dissolved this rumor that good black players just don't get cast. Now, don't get me wrong, there are certainly black players that get cast that are not good at the game of Big Brother, that's for sure. But I think that there's also a big part of this is the fact that there aren't a lot of us to begin with, and the cultural differences, sometimes those are barriers when you're playing a social game. But when you put people that have a shared common experience in the house together, there's more likely of a shot that they might make it a little further. And not only did they make it further, but they made it all the way. So, yes, we will be getting our first black winner of Big Brother. Now, there is a lot of discourse between the cookout and who you want to see win. Ultimately, I think the premier player of the cookout is Tiffany. She's sort of been the one that's at the forefront of a lot of the strategy, a lot of the goings on in the house. And now it looks like she's going to be the one that actually ends up being the first to go. And a lot of people have a problem with that because It's looking like all of the men are sort of swooping in at the last minute to get her out, and then they're gonna, you know, pretty much take credit for all of the things that she's done. There's a lot of this is a very testy season. It's very testy. I mean, the cookout versus the rest of the house, then the cookout versus each other, and all of the opinions that people have alongside that. It is very, very it's a very testy season. I am not at all ashamed in saying that I'll be kind of glad when it's over. Because it's been very emotionally taxing. I am so happy that we got what we won, and I'm so happy that they stuck together and we got this moment. Because the way that episode ended was so great, was so powerful. That they literally got rid of Alyssa, and then Julie signed off, and then the cameras went back in, and then it just has them saying 1, 2, 3, cookout, and then the episode ends. And I'm like, that is so perfect. Like, it's cemented in history now. There's nothing to anybody. You just stay mad. But saying all of that, I'll be glad when this is over, because I feel like this season has also brought out the worst in a lot of the fans. And I will be glad when we are able to sort of move on from this and also, first of all, celebrate what we got, but also move into the future, hopefully a little less burdened from before. So that's where we're at.
But don't every season Big Brother bring out the worst?
I do. I think that's true, but I think that this, because of the nature of this one in particular, and all the stuff that's rioting on it, I feel like there's more pressure. There's just more going on, I think, with this particular season that I don't think that I've necessarily noticed in other seasons.
Sounds about right, but I am very proud of the cookout. I'm very proud to, you know, I've been following along a little bit here and there, but yes, I love it. And I know that, you know, ultimately a lot of even the members of the cookout didn't necessarily agree, but I like the fact that they put their differences aside for the greater good. And, you know, for this is monumental. Big Brother's huge. And, like, you know, again, for other people of color to see this, it's just amazing to me. And I love it. And especially, you know, we got our boy Derek up in the building from Philly. I just think that, yeah, it's amazing. Shout out to the cookout.
Yeah, shout out to the cookout. I really got emotional on Thursday because, I mean, like I said before, I didn't really need for them all to get to Final Six in the beginning. I just wanted them to, you know, have more numbers in their pocket and not be automatically targeted because they're one of the only ones and people don't understand them, and the black women getting accused of being aggressive, and the same for the black men getting accused of being aggressive. Like, I'm just so glad that there was more of us. There were more of us in there this season so that we could actually feel more comfortable to be ourselves and not be judged as quickly, and so I'm pleased that they were able to do it. I ultimately thought that I just wanted them to just be able to go and then be themselves, but then the closer and closer they got to be in the final six, I was like, you know what, no, go for it now, bitch, make this statement.
Even that statement, like, you know, like, it's almost like we're programmed to, like, wish for the like just wish for whatever we get. Like, I just want you to go in there and be like, no, bitch, go in there and kill it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I hope that, like, other reality shows, other networks take notice and see, like, diversity wins. Like, and, you know, even if this isn't always the outcome, but again, like, you know, give us a fair shot, okay? And
a lot of people, a lot of people think that this is, and I've been talking about this a lot, people think that this is going to be the beginning of a race war when it comes to Big Brother, and that now the cookout is ruining this for any future.
What about all of the other white alliances that have been on the Big Brothers? That wasn't ruining.
That, and past that, I just don't think that that's true. I don't think that this is going to start a race war. I think what happened
this
here
is a particular season that, like.
This is one season, and you have black people that know the history of the game and what has happened, and they were like, we are determined to make sure that that does not happen this time, and the way that we're going to do that is make this powerful statement where we take each other to the end, and we do not turn on each other, we do not vote each other out, and we're going to make it all the way to the end so that you are forced to see six black people in that house together, and there is going to be a black winner no matter what. Now, I don't think that that means that all the black people that get cast next season are going to do the same thing.
Right.
Strategically, it wouldn't even make sense for them to do the same thing because they would get caught. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Right. It's just to... Hold on. Let me play the national anthem for the black cookouts that's been the last 2 years. Come on, Beyonce.
You make me happy.
Come on, the cookout.
This is your day.
Okay, listen. I don't even want to talk about that. I just want to celebrate the melanism that is there. I think that it's great. And I love it. Despite what the haters say, it's great. This is reality TV. Like, you know, they were able to do it. And kudos to them. And yeah, that I'm just very happy.
I just have such a, I'm like, my patience is wearing thin for people that like feel like this is like some brand of hatred against white people. If that's what you honestly believe when you're watching these six people operate in that house, I don't know what to tell you. I think that you're choosing to live out of reality at that point.
Go ahead. How many times has Big Brother had the final six be all white?
Quite a few times.
Okay, right. But, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and...
I mean, it was last year. I'm pretty sure it was that way the year before that, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was
the year before that.
Oh,
well, no, that's not true because Casey was definitely, she won that season and she was Filipino. But
for me, it's like, you know, they broke the standard quo. And, you know, with this, it comes to haters. But I would not rack your brain on wasting any time or anyone that wants to come for you or anything. Like, listen, this is what it is. This is 2020. First of all, I was about to say 2022 because you know that Zaddy killing the out. But this is 2021. This is what we look like. America, it's just like, yeah, no. And I think that this, for honestly, proves our point. Give us an opportunity. Allow us a seat at the table.
Right.
And they're not used to it because we've not had a seat at the table. But we've demanded a seat at the table. And guess what? You'll see our greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of it. Like,
they were strategic too. Like, it's
right.
Regardless of why they came together as an alliance, they effectively acted like any other domineering alliance in the house. They didn't win all the HOHs, and when they didn't win the HOH, they made sure that they still got their way. And they came close to splitting up several times. There were so many cracks in that alliance. But they decided to stick together because they thought that there was something greater than all of them, and they stuck with it. So I don't know why people are acting like, oh, the only reason that they won was because they're black. Well, I guess in a way, yes, so sure. But that doesn't mean that they played the game. That doesn't mean they didn't play the game, too. Like, come on. Like, let's be honest about what we're talking about here. It's not rocket science. And reverse racism is not a thing, guys. Racism is racism. Why is it reverse racism when it's against white people? That doesn't make sense. Racism is racism.
Not all lives matter. Not y'all all lives matter in the Big Brother.
It's just such trash.
But that's why, listen, you can't feed it. You have to celebrate the cookout, and like, that's, it is what it is. Like, you just have to choose to celebrate it, and you can't let this historic moment, like, listen, you can't let it because it's stealing your joy. Like, you're a Big Brother, I want to say, freak of the week. Like, yeah. You know, like, you, like, this is like, no, like,
it's been a very contentious season. A lot of my joy has been stolen, and you're right, I really should be trying to focus on what we've got and what they've accomplished and all of that.
Right.
It gets hard sometimes when there's just
I agree.
That's why I said I think that this season is just so different, because I just feel like because of what's happened, there are just so many people coming out of the woodworks with crazy, crazy, horrible opinions and things to say, and it's just been a lot. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the break.
I know you, I'm sure you're probably ready for a shower, okay? But thank you so much for always giving your unapologetic
unfiltered voice, getting me together when I need to be get together. And you know, just I just so appreciate you for bringing the casual tea every other week, once a month, whenever we can do it. I so appreciate it. Don't let them haters get you down. Before we go, what you got going on? What can people expect from you in the upcoming weeks? What you doing with your time when the Big Brother is over? We want to know.
So I'm still on Twitch as usual. You can catch me reading Harry Potter. I'll be getting into a few more video games over there. And that's it for now. I might have some things in the future, but I'll keep that to myself for now.
Okay. All right. We ain't mad at that. Well, thank you so much for another week of Casual Tea. And we will catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The following message is brought to you by Give Me a B.
B.
Give Me an A.
A.
Give Me an R.
R.
Give Me a B. 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 B.
Let me hear it.
B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar.
B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar.
Hi, this is Ms. Bart. And I want to share with you a piece I've just read from Nikki Bannis. It's entitled Home. Find the people and places that make you feel at home. Find the ones who take care of your soul and make you feel like you can completely be yourself around them. Find the ones who light you up from the inside out and encourage you to be yourself. Find the places where you feel at peace, the places that you could spend forever wandering and exploring. Find the places that make you want to see even more of the world and the ones that make you happy to be alive. And whenever you find one of these people or places, hold on to them so tight. Tell those people you love them often. Visit those places as much as you can. Never let go of those people or places, because when you find peace and love in this world, it is worth more than gold. It is where you are meant to be. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week, and I am so proud of this week's Freak of the Week. Now, I told y'all I got a new segment, Purple Pants Play by Play, where I am watching more sports and give y'all some more sports coverage in all of any sports field, you know, tennis, basketball, football, hockey, whatever it is. And so I was watching a football game this past Sunday, and I had read the news headlines earlier, but I want to say, though, this week's Freak of the Week is none other than Maya Shaka, okay? She became the first Black woman in history to officiate an NFL game, okay? Listen, that is huge, okay? I, you know, on this podcast here, I stand for representation. I stand for women's to be making strides. I love to see it, and I have to give Maya her flowers. Now, before the game, she had the NFL. They did a lot of press about it. There was a video clip of Maya floating around, and I just want to play it for you guys because it really is so special and truly an honor, and I love to see the representation. But here is Maya herself.
When I step on the field for the first time as an NFL official, it's going to be a proud moment. It's a proud moment for myself. It's a proud moment for my family. It's a proud moment for my community and my students and coworkers. This historic moment to me is an honor, and it's a privilege that I've been chosen to represent women and women of color in the most popular sport in America, proving that I can defy the odds and overcome and pretty much master a craft of a sport that I didn't really play, but I have a love and a passion for. And hopefully that just gives somebody else, you know, some inspiration and empowers them to step outside the box and to do something different. You know, I'm just in awe, and I just can't wait for that moment, you know, that opening kickoff. I can't wait to see how that's going to feel.
And those are words from Maya Shaka, our Freak of the Week and the first Black woman to ever officiate an NFL game. I think that is so amazing. And to any little girls out there watching, inspire to be what you want. The sky is the limit, okay? And if Maya is our Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing podcast. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for hanging in there with me and listening to another week, because you know it's Daddy's at war. But listen, okay, if you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We're there. My Uncle Pookie, he riding around Philly in his Cadillac. Get it from him. Make sure you subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, okay? And tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that it's Zaddy's at war, cause it's a it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.